If you're in sales, there are three conversations that can make or break your results. And this week on the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin, two very quick things. First and foremost, make sure if you haven't done so already that you subscribe to our free sales tips simply by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. And I also have a very quick tip for you that's going to help you with podcasts and audiobooks. I'm sure some of you are already doing this, but there might be some of you that have never heard of this, or more importantly, maybe you've heard of it and you're not doing it. So when you're listening to a podcast, if you're listening to an audiobook, there's kind of a cool time-saving maneuver that you can do. And no, it isn't just the fast forward button, right? I mean, I use the fast forward button all the time, especially when I hear hosts that are not getting to the damn point, or we're 10 minutes in and they're still telling me what they're going to be telling me in the podcast. That's certainly one way that you could do it. But what you can do is you'll notice on most audio players, there's an option to speed up the recording and speed up your listening experience. So you can change the speed on it. I prefer 1.5 speed. And things are going a little bit quicker. It sounds like not that much. Like people maybe did a little helium, not too much. It's not crazy or whatever. When you start getting around 2 though, because that's another option, you can go to double speed. That's when people sound like you're listening to a podcast with a bunch of mice in it, and that's not cool. So if you want to save some time, especially if you do a lot of listening to podcasts and audiobooks like I do, it is an incredible time-saving tactic. So just keep it in mind. So today we're going to be talking about the three conversations that every sales rep must have. Now, I want to give credit where credit is due, because plagiarism is something that I'm very sensitive about. I've had it done to me. I didn't really appreciate it too much, and I certainly don't want to be the guy that's running around doing that either. As many of you may or may not know, I worked for Dale Carnegie for a few years, and we used to have, and it wasn't that often, I noticed it was like just a few of the instructors that I was leading at the time had this saying that they would offer mostly in our public speaking classes. They would talk about how there were these three presentations, and the context of that tip was in, again, a public speaking environment. And it always resonated with me, and I found myself using this, but a modified version of what I learned at Dale Carnegie, to just kind of include more than public speaking. So I changed it to the three conversations so that we could move, by using the word conversation, away from a limited type of tactic that's only going to serve us when we're up there in front of people making a presentation. So it's very important for you guys to realize we got to get a little context here so that we're all approaching this from the same perspective. When I say conversations, what I'm talking about is just really a broad range of communication scenarios. So I could be talking about, or depending on what you want to get from it, it could be a discovery call that you're making, right? Where you're asking lots of great questions. It could be a demo. It could be a cold call. It could be a cold email. It could be a follow-up call. It could be an interaction that you're having on LinkedIn or over on social media. It could be, how about those difficult conversations that we have to have in sales? Those are no fun, right? I could be talking about that. It could be a negotiation. It could be something as laid back as maybe a lunch meeting or just taking a client out for lunch. Now, if you're in a sales leadership type of role, it could be a team meeting that you're having. It could be a one-on-one. It could be a coaching moment. It could also be, you ready for this? How about an actual conversation, being that we're referring to this as the three conversations? So what we're going to do is we're going to go through these, and there's only three of them. And what I'm going to try to do this week is make this just a much shorter podcast, because we went into a lot of overtime last week, and we went into about an hour. Now, not only for your sake do I want to make it shorter, but for my sake too. I do these on Sundays, and you know, I also want to make sure that I have time for family, hanging out, recharging. I do a lot of my own personal learning on Sundays. So let's see how quick we could make this. And I'm not going to make it quick by keep talking about all this other shit, right? So let's get down to business here. So the first conversation, and just, I'm sorry, I have to step back for 1 second. You are not allowed to say duh to any of these three that I'm talking about unless you are all over the shit. Seriously, that is my rule. We all know lots of things, but when it comes to the actual doing, well, that's a little different, right? So here we go. The very first conversation that you need to be mindful of is the conversation that you plan to have. Now, in a sales context, what this means is, you know, and forgive the sales 101 moment, well, how about the research and the homework that you're going to do going into certain conversations, not every single conversation. But I'll tell you something just very, very quickly. A lot of people, first of all, there's a lot of people that won't take a second to research someone or a company before they pick up a phone. And I think that's just, it's just crazy, especially when, how many times have we been hanging out with a group of people and it's some random topic? It could be, well, who is that singer that used to be in that band and then they went off on a solo career? Or who was the drummer after this person? Or who was the actor that was in that movie and all that? And then all of a sudden, everybody wants to be the Google hero. Phones come out as if by magic somehow. They come out of nowhere, and everybody's racing to find something as trivial as those things. But heaven forbid we do the same thing when it comes to doing a little bit of homework before we pick up a phone. The other thing to keep in mind is that a lot of the time when it comes to researching and doing homework, those of you who do it are mostly only doing it when you're making a cold call or a phone call. You're not doing it for the email exchanges that you need to be having as well. So I want you to think about that. Last but not least, another really big mistake that people make here is they do their homework during the courtship phase, but they forget that it's equally important, if not even more important, once you get into the marriage, because things change. Business is moving at the speed of light. Hey, there's this thing going on right now. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It's called a pandemic, right? Like, who would have thunk it? Things are rapidly changing because of that. So it's very important that you realize this is all a moving target. So you continue to do that research. But also setting up, going into this quote-unquote conversation, you're setting your primary and your secondary objectives. But the other thing that I like to do as part of kind of the pre-call planning, I'm planning that conversation. I like to look at things, you ready for this? Suspiciously. I almost pretend that I am the highly skeptical Detective Paul Castain from the First Precinct. He is a no bullshit detective. You can't put one over on Castain. And I look at it from the perspective of, you ready for this? I'm missing something here. What am I missing? What am I not getting? What's getting past me here? And I look at it that way. Once I feel I've gotten everything together, then I start not really second guessing myself from a confidence perspective, but more from a thoroughness perspective. What am I missing here? What is it? And then also, too, of course, I also like to look at things, you know, what could happen here? Where could this go? What should I be prepared for? So that's the first conversation, the conversation that you plan to have. Remember, conversation isn't just a conversation. It could be an email. It could be something over on LinkedIn. It could be a demo. It could be a discovery call. It could be a difficult type of discussion that you have to have with some people. It could be follow-up. So don't forget that. Next, the second conversation is the conversation that you actually have. Let me say that again. The conversation that you actually have. How many times have you prepared for something to go one way and it did a complete turn on you? Or maybe even you were blindsided. Or, hey, look, let's not just be negative here. How about you plan for the worst and oh, who would have thunk it, man? It went great, right? You just, oh, wow. Okay, there was no problem here. I was ready for a problem. Not that we'd say that to them. But, you know, I think something that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, and I want to, again, remember knowing. And, okay, you know, Castain, how could I not know this? You always talk about it. Knowing and being aware of something and actually doing it, it's not the same thing, folks. So please don't confuse your awareness with what I'm about to say with you actually doing it. So how about, you know, taping and using game tape for certain scenarios? You're doing a demo. Are you hitting the record button when you're doing your demos? You really should if you're not. First of all, it's going to give you a wonderful opportunity to really step back and watch the game tape, the way the conversation actually played out. You plan for it a certain way. Now you get to step back and you can witness the whole thing, what you said, what they did, what wasn't said, questions that you know, just numerous things that you could be doing. So you could do that. Little bonus tip for you. There's two other reasons why you should be taping your WebExes. The next reason, aside from the game tape benefit by raising your awareness, being able to step back, see what was done, what wasn't done, you can also use this as a nice follow-up and give you an extra touch point, if you will, with the prospect or your client without having to quote-unquote call to check in. You can send along the recording so that they can refer to it. Now, this is also really good in scenarios where you couldn't get access to all the stakeholders. So that could be a good thing, too. They can pass it along and not do the selling for you, because that's where sometimes things, it's almost like the telephone game. If you've ever played that in school, you start at one end of the room and, you know, you use the phrase, you know, we're all going out tonight and having beers, and somehow by the time it gets to the other end of the room, it's kind of like it became Britney Spears has a beard or some nonsense. So you know what happens when we do that. So the other benefit that you have, and especially you, those of you who are in a sales leadership position, it's a very good training vehicle. And what I mean by that is if your sales reps are taping these demos that they're having, right? They hit that record feature on WebEx. Then what you can do is you can kind of take some of the better ones, or you could take the ones and break it down by vertical. And you can create almost a training library. So all your newbies can listen to different ones and get, you know, take little pieces from this person's style and the way this person packages a certain part of your value proposition. And it's just a very good way for them to learn. But also, too, it's a good way for each of your teammates to rip each other off, because you're allowed to do that on a team. So those are some benefits to the game tape thing. But game tape doesn't stop just there with a WebEx. It also goes on to taping your end of your cold calls. I say taping your end of the cold calls because here in the U.S., I believe there's legislation state to state. It varies state to state if you're allowed to tape a conversation or you're not. But one thing you're allowed to do across the U.S. is tape your end of it. You're not violating any kind of privacy laws. So that's something that you can do. You could tape your end of it, and it raises your your awareness. So far, these conversations, we have the conversation that you plan to have. Next, it's showtime. The conversation that you actually have. And now comes the conversation that is the most important conversation. This is the one that if you're driving, I want you to pull over and take notes on this one. This is the one that if you're not taking notes and you're on a treadmill or exercising, stop. Have a little learning. Work out the brain a little now. And I want you to write this one down. The most important conversation that you need to have as a sales rep, you ready? I feel like I should have a drum roll. It's the one that you wished you had had. Let me say it again. It's the conversation that you wish that you had. See, you planned in conversation number one for a certain type of conversation. Again, certain type of demo, certain type of discovery call. You had your questions all thought out. You planned with your pre-call planning. You planned suspiciously, like we talked about. We thought about, well, what could happen? You have primary, secondary objectives. But then you had the actual conversation. And now you have, hopefully, the gift of retrospect and hindsight. This is where we put on our humble students' caps. The humble student cap. And, you know, we think about that conversation. I mean, just kind of spitballing here. I mean, it could be, you know, maybe you didn't gain control of the conversation. When I say gain control, I don't mean being controlling or manipulative. I mean, you know, taking some control of that meeting and guiding the conversation with some good questions. Remember, the person asking the questions in a conversation is really controlling that conversation. And again, if the word controlling bothers you, change it to guiding. So it could be that maybe you took too much control. Maybe you didn't let them get a word in edgewise. If it's an email scenario, maybe you communicated through email where it really should have been a conversation. It should have been a pick up the phone type of moment. Perhaps in retrospect, you look back and you see that your tone really didn't help the situation at all. In fact, maybe it even hurt. Maybe you didn't pick up on a concern that they kept expressing. It just got past you. It happens to all of us, by the way. The key is not to let it happen all the time. Be more mindful of your interactions with people. Maybe it was a scenario where you let your emotions get the best of you. Or maybe you did really, really well. There's no complaints. And you give yourself an 8 or a 9 on a scale from 1 to 10. But then you think about it from the perspective of, okay, well, how do I get from a 9 to a 10? What would have been the conversation that I would have said, hands down, that was a 10, 10 plus, bonus points, smiley face on the paper, note home to mom and dad saying how awesome I was in that conversation. Now, this, what I do here, is I like to kind of do this step with a journal. I journal very differently than most people. There's a lot of people, and I don't think there's a right or wrong to it. I just know what has served me and my coaching clients very, very well now for, I don't know, about 20 years. What I do is, the way I use my journal is, there's some people, what they do is they look at the day and they talk about, you know, things that happened that day and maybe something they learned or their intentions for the next day or whatever, or the intentions for the day ahead, you know, that kind of thing. And that's all well and good. I prefer to do it, go about it a little bit differently. One of the things that I do is whenever I'm reading a book or going through, say, a podcast like this one, where I know that there's going to be some actionable steps, I want a holding place for that. And I don't want it just in some crappy notebook, certainly not a pad of paper, because that's going to be one of 800 pads of paper that I have that I just can't access that information. When I put it in a journal, I know I want to put nuggets in there that are worthy of reading in the future. Many cases, I like to mark my path, how I'm like, for example, last week I told you guys about a challenge I was having with my website and a big problem that we had with the feed and how it impacted the traffic to my website. So I've been kind of marking the path like as if we were going on a hike into this massive forest. We want to mark our path and so we don't get lost on that journey. But also, if we go back again, you want to know the way. Right, you want to know the way to the other side of that challenge or that problem. And especially if you do well, you also want to be able to replicate that success, right? Why leave it to chance? So what I do is I use the journal and I kind of go through all these steps again. Because with this step, when we look at the conversation we wish we had, you go back and you say, okay, starting from square one, did I prepare properly for this? And I had a situation not too long ago where I hate to say this because here I am the sales trainer and the guy with the podcast. Heaven forbid I make a mistake and own up to it publicly. But I have something when I look back on the three conversations and I was in the conversation I wish I had stage, I realized that I did not prepare properly for something. And it wasn't that it was a rookie mistake or I dropped the ball. And who gives a shit if it, I mean, seriously, just we have to lose the ego. It doesn't matter. But something got past me that many times, you know, when we look back on it, and that's why I said it really doesn't matter in some ways if it was a rookie mistake or not. The most important thing is having the awareness so it doesn't happen again. I mean, haven't we heard stories of famous generals? And I think it was, I don't know if you guys remember, some of you are too young to remember this. And I'm sorry if this is not really an appropriate example, but Tough Shit, my podcast. The first Persian Gulf war that the U.S. was involved in, we had a general by the name of General Schwarzkopf, right? I'm probably mispronouncing his name because it's been, oh, I don't know, like 30 effing years since we've heard his name dropped every day on CNN. And he used a maneuver, I believe he also used a mindset that is the complete opposite of the one he had in the Vietnam War. There was, I believe there was a battle where he was bested, where he lost that battle because he didn't do certain things. And he made it a note. He made a note to self going forward that he would never do those things again and he would prepare very, very differently. It wasn't that he was unprepared. He had a scenario come up where he never wanted that to happen to him again. So this way he was almost overprepared and had overwhelming force when he went into some of these battles, and it served him well in that war. So it's kind of like that. So again, using your journal, you're going to go through all the steps. Did I prepare properly? How would I have prepared different for this? Of course, you're going to look at the actual conversation. Could be something in your tone. It could be your delivery. I'm very big on packaging, how you say things. Did you package it in the best possible way? Now remember, even if you feel that you were a 9 on a scale from 1 to 10, how could you, what would that conversation look like if you were able to give yourself 10s across the board? So I want you to think about it like that. But also, you know, I want you to be aware of this while you're having your next quote-unquote conversation, whether it be that demo or that discovery call or a cold call or an email or something on LinkedIn. While it's going on, while you're in that moment, here's a cool thing that you can do. Just kind of, you want to keep listening to the person, but kind of in that moment where you want to raise your awareness, I want you to ask yourself, is this a conversation that's going to result in a conversation that I wished I had? Is there anything that I need to do right now to get this conversation back on task or back on track? Am I accomplishing my objectives that I had? Am I doing my best here? Am I listening properly? You guys know what to do. I'm just giving you ideas to get you thinking. But in the moment, we don't want to just do this exercise in retrospect and have it as hindsight. Yes, that's an important part of learning, but really what we want to do is ascend to the level that we're aware of it as it's happening. Because you see, as it's happening, there's a higher probability of getting it back on course, higher probability of fixing it. So those are the three steps, folks. I mean, there you have it. Three, quote unquote, conversations, whether, again, demos, discovery calls, cold calls, you get the idea. And it starts with the conversation you plan to have. Then there's the actual conversation. The third, we said, is the most important conversation, and it's the conversation that you wish that you had. So on that note, I want you to be sure to sign up for our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. Also, if you haven't downloaded my How to Prospect During COVID-19, I would suggest that you do it soon. I'm not going to be making it available forever. We have other things that we're going to be promoting very, very soon. So if you'd like to up your game with your prospecting skills during COVID-19, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. All one word, lowercase letters. yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.